I begin this morning by sharing with you this picture. Now, as you look at this picture, it probably has a different meaning to you than it does for me. And I share it with you because there are so many things in which we look at things and have a different understanding. There are a lot of things I do not understand. For example, space I often bring up. The idea of the vastness of space and universes and solar systems and stars and so forth. It's far beyond my mind to comprehend. I don't always understand change. For example, why do they change football uniforms? I don't get it. To me, I'm kind of a traditionalist that way. I like the way that they were. I don't need new uniforms. Or new uniforms every week that you sometimes see. Sometimes things that are new are hard to grasp. Anything to do with technology, electronics, are always changing and upgrading and becoming supposedly better when I think they're just fine the way that they were. But as individuals, how we understand and how we look at things like this picture, it varies greatly. And so we have to then emphasize the importance of the Holy Spirit, particularly in the days of the early church, and that recognizing there was opposition to those early Christians. The early followers of Jesus were labeled dangerous. There were those who listened to the teachings of the early Christians and felt they talked about rising up against political authority. For after all, they spoke of being in the world, but not of the world. They spoke of being living in the realm of Rome, but in the kingdom of God. So the early Christians, it was feared, would be disloyal to Rome and be disloyal to Caesar. They were also seen as agitators. They talked about the second coming of Jesus, about Jesus' return, that when he did, would come the destruction of the world as they knew it. And so that caused unease and concern in how to understand teaching such as this. Maybe the most far-fetched of all is that they were labeled cannibals or thought of in that way. Because people heard about a private meal that they would partake in which there was the eating of the body. One view that held some validity was how the early Christians tampered with family relationships. The early Christians divided families. Houses were split, which can be understandable. For those who came to follow Jesus and those who did not. Those who maybe held on to the traditional teachings of which their families had been a part of for generations. Or for the Gentile. For those who are now included. But yet many who did not recognize this. There is a different way in looking on women, the poor, the ill, the diseased. There are things that were not understood. And with these early Christians, they were a suspect people because they were seen as different. They were different. They were something new. And there were those who were prepared to believe the worst of them because they did not understand. They did not grasp what was taking place. And so they were characterized in many different ways because they did not conform to the common and known patterns of life. And so the world was suspicious, as the world often dislikes those who question the world, the ways in which we live, and the things that we hold important. So these early Christians were suspect. They were different. People will look at them and see them in a different way. They were not necessarily understood. And so it was with this setting, this understanding of what was to come, that Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit that would be promised. He talks about this advocate who will come, this advocate who will be present in their lives. The word advocate comes from the legal tradition. It is one who would plead a certain cause, or be a counsel for defense, or who would intercede, who would render a service, who would provide assistance. One who is clever and knowledgeable and be helpful. One day there was this lawyer's dog that got free from the backyard and began to run across the neighborhood. It finally made its way downtown and stood outside the open door to the butcher shop. The dog peeked inside. There, sitting on the countertop, was a roast, freshly wrapped and ready to be delivered. The dog ran inside, grabbed the roast, and made a quick exit. The butcher saw the dog leave and recognized it as belonging to the lawyer. So he walked a few doors down to the lawyer's office, and he said to the lawyer, "I have a question for you. Say there's a dog, and this dog is unleashed, it's not being tended to, and it comes into my shop and it steals meat off the counter. Should payment be made by the owner?" The lawyer hears the question and says to the butcher, "Yes." The butcher says, "Aha, you owe me $15. It was your dog who came into my shop this morning and stole meat off the counter." The lawyer agreed and promptly paid the $15. Some days later, the butcher receives a letter from the lawyer. And inside that letter, there is a bill. It's a bill for $100 for consultation. And so we want on our side someone who is clever, someone who will intercede, someone who will assist, and someone who will help. The advocate is someone who is called to help in a situation in which we cannot help ourselves. Jesus says, "This advocate will testify on my behalf." This advocate will provide help and will provide assistance. This advocate will plead your case. Come to the aid when you cannot help yourself. The advocate, though, is also known as the comforter. This goes far beyond the idea of just consoling or holding one's hand or being present in times of sorrow or of sadness. When Jesus speaks of the advocate as being the comforter, it is one who will come and establish a relationship with you. And this fellowship will be uninterrupted. And in this relationship, there will be illumination, enlightenment, understanding, strengthening. It will be an enabling presence, a helping presence. One that will exhort on, urge, and give courage. This comforter will make one strong and brave. In order to not just cope, but to be triumphant. To be victorious. And so this Spirit of Truth comes. The Spirit of Truth that will share with you a new reality. When Jesus speaks of this truth, though, it goes far beyond knowing. So often we get caught up in knowledge. So often we get caught up on who has a monopoly on truth. Who is right? Who is more right? Who is most right? But rather, this Spirit of Truth will come to deal with doubts and deal with questions. The Spirit of Truth will come to those who are looking for that which is meaningful. The Spirit of Truth is also a legal term. It is one who comes to convince, to cross-examine a witness. And by that examination, one will have to admit to the force of the argument and agree with it and accept it. the Spirit of truth comes to convince. Comes to convince of righteousness. Of being in a right relationship with God. That God comes to be with His people. God comes with to guide His children. That there is a connection with God, a relationship with God, which is diverse for each and every one of us. This brings me back to our picture. As I said, this picture means something different for me than it does for you. I understand it far differently than you do. You probably grasp by now or guess that it comes from our granddaughter Taya, who's 3.5. The significant thing for me is that she drew this picture of Big T, me. See the resemblance? Now, I'm not saying she's the most artistic or the most talented. She's only 3.5. What's most meaningful to me is that she drew it at all. That she drew a picture thinking of me. So it doesn't have to be good. But it does make me wonder, what was she thinking? What was she seeing? What does a 3-year-old see? Does she look at this picture and say, yeah, this looks just like him? Does she recognize, well, you know, it's off a little bit here and there, but I like it? Makes you wonder how a 3-year-old mind works. What a 3-year-old eyes see. But understanding is a process. It's a process of who we are, what we are to do, of how we see. How do we grasp this relationship with the Spirit? But it's a process, and the Spirit is active. This advocate, this comforter. It's a process that is diverse and different for each and every one of us, for each and every person we encounter. And we respect and understand that difference. We celebrate this ongoing revelation. We celebrate a revelation that there is a continual opening of our eyes to the love of God. Amen.